All right, we're going to get started with the pop-up podcast in just a second. But before we get started, we want to thank the people at Upside.com for sponsoring the whole thing. This special episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is presented by Upside.com, a great new way for you to buy travel. Every time you buy a trip at Upside, you save a ton of money, and they give you an Amazon gift card worth $100, $200, even $300 every time. The way they do it is really clever. Upside bundles your flight and hotel together for one low price. Bundled pricing saves money, especially on business travel, so Upside gives you free Amazon gift cards. So if you're a frequent business traveler, your company saves a ton of money, and you can get thousands a year just for buying your air and hotel together at Upside. Plus, you still get all your miles. You'll want to check out Upside.com if you're shopping for business or personal travel. It takes just 3 minutes to see how much you can save by buying your flights and hotel together for one low price. And check out what we have arranged for you. Use my name, Tony, and you're guaranteed to get at least a $200 Amazon gift card for your first trip. My name, Tony, gets you at least a $200 Amazon gift card free. Save big on travel. Get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com. Minimum purchase applies. See site for details.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And I ask again, do
sir,
you,
just answer the question.
Do you finally, you,
president,
do you believe,
alternative facts.
Do you believe that they're going to be in?
I'm convinced by the people that I talked to have told me that they're going to be
many
in.
People Tony, say Northwestern is going to be
Tony,
in.
Mr. Wilbon is stating what he believes to be the case based on the facts he has been presented
with. He answered
with.
The question as he understood it at the time.
So, depends on what the definition of in is.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then, plausibly live, and this time we can disclose the location. It's at Chad's on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer Streets in the District of Columbia in Friendship Heights. We're on the air with a pop-up podcast that'll last a little over an hour. You heard the open about Michael Wilbon. Wilbon has wandered into the studio now. Chris Saliza is with us. Gary Braun is with us. Michael Kornheiser is with us. Nigel is going to run the board. There is no news. The only news today, Sean is engineering. The only news today is the actual draw. Even if Wilbon were late, we were going to wait for Wilbon to talk about Northwestern and Vanderbilt, which is probably, if Princeton is not playing, the highest IQ matchup. So we'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to start because our dear friend Rob Stronach is here, and Rob is a Syracuse guy, and we waited and we watched every single last turn, and the last turn was Xavier as an 11 and Syracuse not as 11. Xavier playing Maryland playing Syracuse would have been great,
yeah,
but it was Xavier. Syracuse, the big name school that is out, there's one school that I think should have gotten in, which is Illinois State. They were 17 and 1 in league. That's really impressive, 17 and 1 in
and
league,
and lost to Wichita State, who's
which is a good team,
outstanding
Wichita
in the
State
finals.
Over the last 5 to 8 years has been a powerhouse.
They made the Final Four.
So when you do that, I think you should get in. And Syracuse doesn't get in. Boeheim had 3 top 10 wins and threatened to retire. And didn't get in. And who gets in ahead of them? USC, Xavier, Kansas State, and Wake Forest. And the happiest guy at our table is Saliza. Because what you said, you just said, please, God,
well,
don't let Syracuse
get in. Oh, he was giddy.
I have so little. I mean, I have
you didn't
so,
get
I,
in, right?
I have nothing.
Georgetown well, didn't get in.
It well, was it was his a, Final Four.
I'm looking at a bracket that doesn't have them. I don't know if that's an official bracket. I could
still
be
on
missing
the bubble,
it.
Chris.
No,
still on the
I
bubble.
Have so little to root for that all I can do, I'm brought to root against. Because if anyone knows the rivalry, I hate Syracuse as much as I love Georgetown.
Yeah, you should.
Matt Kelleher, noted Georgetown alumni, and
absolutely.
Myself.
Absolutely, he's here as well.
By
the way, very good crowd for a Sunday evening. Yeah. Very good crowd. Happy
call
about
that the Kornheiser Wilbon effect.
Yeah. Podcast crowd.
It was unbecoming, Chris. It was unbecoming. I mean, you do a lot.
Most of what
ugly
I do is unbecoming
in a given week.
Yeah.
Right, so let's
can we reset just 1 second?
Yeah.
Because you know
you're in.
The only reason I'm
Northwestern's
here.
In.
The only reason I'm here is to one gloat and two make fun of him.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I like both of those
things. And all he had to say a few weeks ago were two things. Duke is the best team in the country. Now,
I did.
They slipped and they came back, but they're not even the top number two team in
that's
seed.
Right.
More importantly, Syracuse is in.
I did.
Syracuse is in.
Did he?
I did.
February 11th. Syracuse is in.
Should have talked
March
to me on that.
March 1st. Syracuse is in.
I did.
Where the hell is
last
Syracuse?
Last Friday.
They're out.
We talked about this.
Okay, but this is the same person who said, I don't know if we're getting in. Some people say we're getting in. Now you're
I
many
didn't
say
people we were
have
out.
Talked
Seven.
About it. All right, so let's get to Syracuse around. Do you think they should be out, Chris?
Yes. They
Michael?
They had two. They did not win. They
Three
beat
top
no
10
one
teams.
Good. Outside of the carrier dome.
This is like football. If you don't go on the road, if all you want to do is play home games, the NCAA is basically saying, the men's selection committee is saying, that day's over. That day's over. Staying on your campus.
Yep.
And they did this in football. They told Alabama and Georgia and all the SEC schools.
And they went out.
And they went out and play now, don't they?
They do.
And they get big games. So then Syracuse learned the lesson.
To Mike's point, even Georgetown's defense, Georgetown had the most famous cupcake schedules ever. St. Leo's. The committee said many times over, look, you want a good seed, you want to make it in when you're on the bubble, play real teams. And they do. Syracuse doesn't.
I was on this early. We talked about it. I did not want them in, and I was glad to see they did not get in.
You can't leave the state, man.
Rules are rules, man.
Can I tell you? I'm going to tell you this. Every single person on CBS and ESPN that I saw, and I watched a lot of basketball over the last 4 days, a lot, they all said the same thing. They don't deserve to be in. And they all said they're not going to be in. USC got their bid. Kansas State got their bid.
Wake. Out of the same conference.
Yep. Well, Wake was 10-8 in that conference. So I'm okay with Wake.
Wake with a good loss at to Northwestern on a neutral court.
So I'm okay
with Wake. Well, Wake went and played people.
Wake did.
Which is what they want you to do.
Everybody else in the world is in. There are four play-in games. One of them, two of them are for 16 slots.
That's the first four, Tony. They don't do play-in games.
They're play-in games.
Yeah, it's the first
two. Two of them are for 16 slots.
First round, some would argue.
Two of them are for 11 slots, right? Two
yeah,
of them
that's for 11. So the last four at-large.
So I think, and I, Wilbon, let's ask you this. I'm very clear on this in my mind. I don't think any play-in games should be any automatic qualifiers at all. I think all play-in games should be also-rans in big conferences. Let them play each other to get the 11.
Well, Tony,
that's
you know,
what
it's
I
interesting.
Think.
Clearly, the committee, look, there are clearly some people in the room who think like you do. Let's just look at the makeup of it. It's got a combination of both. But look, Wake, Kansas State, USC, Providence, these are big schools. Mount St. Mary's, New Orleans, NC Central, and UC Davis the other way. There's an exact 50-50 split of the two
philosophies. Well, that's how they do it. That's how they do it every year.
I would have gone 100% to make you play in to get an 11. If you've been in a big time, for in other words,
let these 16s get in the tournament.
Yeah, I don't. Mount St. Mary's and New Orleans and North Carolina Central and Davis.
I mean, it counts as a tournament.
We make fun of it all the time. We say it's a play-in game.
I'm fine if those teams were in the field starting Thursday night. I know what you mean.
I think they should.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to get worked up over.
I think they should be in. In my life, I don't know, because Mike and I are sports writers, and we've seen this.
Worst.
Have you ever been to, like, a Final Four or a bunch of these games?
I went, like a fan, I've been through the Georgetown run the last time they made the Final Four, which was 2007.
Where was that? Where did you
Georgia
go?
Dome. Terrible place to see basketball.
Yes.
It was the
terrible place to see football.
But I will say it was a good group of teams, though. It was Ohio State with Odin and Mike Conley.
Right.
It was Florida with Noah and that group.
They won.
And it was one other. We lost to Ohio State. Oh, UCLA with, I believe, Westbrook was on that team. 07?
I don't even remember him in
college.
They
were outstanding.
Westbrook would have been on that team.
Yeah, so
did you ever go, Gary?
Yes, I went to the Final Four in Charlotte. Actually, covered it for WTEM back in the day. That was the Nolan Richardson Arkansas team.
When Arkansas
40
won.
40 minutes out.
1994, I think
that
it was.
That was the year they beat Grant Hill. What's his name? I can't think of the guard on Arkansas hit that shot.
Scotty Thurman.
Otherwise, otherwise Grant Hill wins without Christian Laettner.
Right.
With
That's
Chris
right.
Collins. Chris Collins, the last time Chris Collins had a big moment in the tournament, he missed the shot after Scotty Thurman, and Duke lost the national championship. That's the last time Chris Collins was on the stage.
I remember that. So Scotty Thurman.
UMass in that Final
Big
Four
nasty.
Too? I want to say.
Maybe Camby.
The point I want to make is that I've been to, and Mike has been to. Mike's been more than I. I saw Walton get 44 points and win. I saw David Thompson almost kill
Luke
himself.
Walton?
No, Bill Walton.
I'm not familiar with him.
The stone guy who does the play-by-play sometimes.
I saw the Laettner shot, which was not the Final Four, to get to the Final
Regional
Four.
Final.
I saw the Keith Smart shot, which was to win. And I will tell you that as nice as that stuff is, the first week's better.
The first four days. It starts today. It starts today. The reveal.
Yeah.
And then now you have this thing where you get these games in Dayton. So basically, you take a deep breath Monday. You figure out what you expect, what you want to happen. And then bam, 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 it's right at you.
Can I ask you guys both this, because I'm fascinated at this. How did you, once you got to the point where you weren't just assigned to, you got to go, how did you decide where you wanted to go? Because
well,
there's
I don't
so
like
many,
to fly. So
well,
I
so
go
you
to
stayed
close
wherever
spots.
It was close. But Wilbon.
Well, most of my time, I've done 25 of these things
in
person. And the first thing I had to do, most of it, was I went where the locals went.
Okay.
And there were great local
because
stories.
Because Maryland and Georgetown were always in it.
And not just Georgetown,
GW
Maryland.
Might be in it.
I mean, there were stories where you had Hampton, which I know has a huge alumni base, all not necessarily local, but as local to here as anywhere else in the region. They went out and they beat Iowa State in Boise.
I remember, because Georgetown played Hampton
Georgetown,
in the next round.
That's right. Yeah. And we had three schools, Maryland, George Mason, and even Lefty Drizel at Georgia State.
Yeah.
They were
at
Boise.
Yes.
It was insane. So I would just look at – so locally you knew Mason would pop up George Washington. Mm-hmm. So
When Mike Jarvis coached George Washington, they were good.
And then after that, when I wasn't covering local anymore, you look at the brackets.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, my God, you've got the following coaches.
You can say this. Yeah. There are a lot of areas in the country that will tell you what their specialty is. The D.C. area is college basketball. Because you had Maryland and Georgetown, and you can expand that net for Virginia very easily. Yep. You had when George Mason made that run with Larry Nagle, that's local. So college basketball in this area, there's no other area. Chicago doesn't have all these conferences. I'm saying there's all these intersections of good multiple bid conferences here.
I was going to say Philly, but you know what, Tony? It comes and goes, and D.C.'s is kind of gone right
now. It's dead
now.
It's a Georgetown. But
at one point, Chicago had DePaul going 27-2, and Illinois, and Marquette, and Notre Dame. So, they never had the
program. And now they got a ghost program in DePaul, and they just fired, I think, a good coach at Illinois. Didn't that guy get to the tournament a bunch of times at Ohio?
I don't understand as a Big Ten
plus
alum,
20. His overall record is plus 20.
Tony, you know what they're angry about?
It's going to
sound a little bit too much.
Northwestern.
Because they lost to Northwestern.
They beat us twice this year in the conference play. They're mad because I just got these T-shirts delivered to me. Delivered.
What T-shirt?
NCAA T-shirts
in
my house.
When you say delivered, like a human being,
a FedEx guy.
Right.
Working on Sunday,
right.
And it says Chicago's dance, and I should have brought the – and so the marketing of this, I just found out this week, Illinois people from the president on down, they are angry that they are being upstaged by that little school, those little private school geeks.
Right.
They're angry about it. Of course, I couldn't be happier to hell with Illinois.
Right.
And I usually do root for Illinois because I grew up in Illinois.
But they fired that guy, Tony.
That
he took teams to
inexcusible
to the tournament.
It's 5 years.
Was he at Ohio where he took teams to the tournament?
John I think Grochi. if they'd won a game, whatever day that was, Wednesday or Thursday. I thought Illinois was going to get in. How do you fire this guy?
I don't want to make it all about Georgetown, but he did coach the Ohio team that beat Georgetown in the tournament. I mean, he's had.
I just thought he's a bad fire. I thought he's.
Well, they were way over.
He's a bad fire.
Well, I mean,
they
who was
better.
There before
they
him?
Better.
Was that Lon Kruger before him?
No, they've had a couple of guys.
Weber.
Weber did a good job.
But then
he did a good job.
He got to the Final Four.
Lon Kruger was ahead of him.
I don't know who was most recent. I can't even think of
I can't either.
But for 100 years, it was Lou Dew.
Yeah.
It was Lou Henson.
Yes.
For 100 years, it was Lou Henson.
His hair was 100.
Who Bobby Knight hated more than anybody else because he called him out of cheek.
See Bobby Knight about Indiana?
I hope they're all dead. Does that
so
not sound
brutal.
Like Knight? It's just
can't imagine Bob Knight going there.
Yeah.
Wilbon, are you going to go to Final Four this year? It's in your backyard.
Yes.
Good.
I am going to the Final Four.
Kim and I will be out there. You should take
Mr. Kornheiser was invited, has declined.
I've declined.
An invitation to the Final Four.
It's Pahonix. I think I'm saying that.
78 degrees, golf every day, Final Four. You wouldn't want that. No, let's stay in the snow.
Well, speaking of snow, now I just want to say this. Let's get this out here now. Early today, there was a sense of 2-5 in Washington, D.C. They're now up plus 5. They're up plus 5 in D.C., and just over the line in Bethesda is 10.
What did Kip Seaman say?
Kip Sheehan said 15 to 20.
Kip sent a frantic text.
You know, Wilbon, you don't trust Sheehan.
Fear casting.
On 15 to 20.
By the way, after Lou Henson,
I don't trust him on anything that has to do with weather.
I don't know how we forgot this guy. After Lou Henson and Lon Kruger, bridging the gap from Kruger to Bruce Weber was Bill Self.
Oh, that's right. He left.
That's right.
He left to go to Kansas,
which is a better job.
Yes.
All right. Why don't we take a break now? I've got a bunch of live reads I have to do, and then we will go region by region. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So let's do the live reads.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And now, a word from this episode's presenting sponsor of the Tony Kornheiser Show, Upside.com. You're going to save a ton of You're going to save a ton of money and get an Amazon gift card worth $100, $200, even $300 every time you buy a trip at Upside.com. Now, why do they do that? Upside uses a proprietary big data software engine to instantly find the top six flights and top six hotels that save money for companies while meeting the specific needs of each trip. You pick your flights, you pick your hotel, and you buy them together for one low price. The bundled pricing saves money, especially on business travel, so Upside gives you free Amazon gift cards. You still get the same cancellation and change privileges as if you had bought your flights and hotels separately. You still get all your miles. Check out Upside.com if you're shopping for business or personal travel. Take 3 minutes and see how much you can save by buying your flights and hotel together for one low price. Go to Upside.com, and at the top of the page is a microphone. If you click on it, it will ask for a promo code, and that code is Tony, T-O-N-Y. Use my name, Tony. You're guaranteed. This is pretty good to get at least a $200 Amazon gift card for your first trip. My name, Tony, gets you at least a $200 Amazon gift card free. Save big on travel and get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com, promo code Tony. Minimum purchase applies. See site for details.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter, Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville is in the tournament as a two seed. This is called Down Cemetery Road. He's very good. We should play him. Well, we do. We play him all the time. He's really good. We're doing a pop-up podcast at Chad's on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer inside the district line in Friendship Heights. It's very weird for me. One thing is weird. This is the first day of daylight savings time. So at this hour and in real time, it's 7:05. It's still light.
Oh yeah, you could get nice. Nine in. You could knee easy nine right now.
Except for the fact that it's 31 degrees.
It's a little chilly.
And the weird thing is, now when I wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow, there's 2 hours of darkness, you know, before anything goes
on. Normally, you save this rant till Monday.
Well, okay, but this is a pop up.
There should be 5 hours of darkness starting at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
And by the way, it's worthless.
There's
except for these
here.
Early rising lunatics. That just waste daylight on like 12 people. I mean, sorry.
Here we go.
We're not farmers anymore.
We're starting on the right side of the bracket, and usually that's the east, but this year it's the Midwest.
Is that stage right?
Stage right.
You're right.
This is the military part of the bracket. Kansas is the number one seed. Kansas would have been the overall number one had they gone two rounds further in the Big 12. Villanova's the overall number one. The top four in this are Kansas, Purdue is four. Are they they're the highest ranked Big Ten team?
They are.
Four.
Yeah, they're the highest ranked, yeah.
Oregon is three, and Oregon has lost its shot blocker with a torn ACL. So they're not. This is Kenyon Martin with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They were looking going into the weekend at being a one
seed. This is significant. This is significant. And Louisville is in there as a two. The hottest team in creation is in this, and that's Michigan. Michigan, which won the Big Ten today, that's a seven. Iowa State, another very hot team, is a five in this. So although for me, the top four of this isn't all that good, the five and the seven are awfully good. I don't particularly think Creighton – I watched Creighton yesterday. I don't think Creighton is all that good as a six. We'll start with Saliza. Who do you like in this
I'm glancing. I think in terms of upsets, I do think Rhode Island's going to beat Creighton. I've seen Creighton play a bunch. They lost Maurice Watson Jr. two-thirds of the way through
really
the season.
A really good guard.
Their point guard. He then was to an ACL. He was then thrown off the team. I watched that game. They look good against VCU. I still think, in terms of pedigree and in terms of talent, I don't see Kansas-Miami is kind of an interesting second-round game, but I think Kansas is going to wind up. And then I kind of like
Oregon over Louisville, but without the kid that got hurt, that you'd have a better chance.
Let's talk about
problem is they can't, they don't score.
Louisville's
they play defense,
problem. Wilbon knows what is their problem, Mike, for a Rick Pitino coach team.
Now, right now, they don't play very smart.
They're dumb.
Yeah,
play dumb.
This is not the Rick Pitino. You look at them and you say, "Who's coaching?" Well, not Rick Pitino.
Yep.
Somebody else is coaching them.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
I've been watching them a lot, and I don't understand what it is this year that doesn't work for them.
I think in this, I think that the winner of Iowa State Purdue, because I like Purdue more than most, and I know they went out. I like Purdue. I think the winner of Iowa State Purdue can actually beat Kansas.
I don't have
Kansas is not Kansas I, does well, not.
I, suppose I tell I'll you, go, great son of the Midwest. I have neither Iowa State nor Purdue even advancing.
Really? Oh, there. But you got them both out.
Well,
you got Vermont beating them. Vermont with 20 in a row.
I got Nevada beating
that's
Iowa
the
5-12 State, trap. And I wrote down Purdue, and that's only out of loyalty. I don't believe that.
Okay,
believe that Vermont can beat Purdue with this, despite the double double machine that is the Big Ten Player of the Year. I can see both those teams going out.
Swanigan.
It's not Swearingen. It's Swanigan. Swanigan's
the safety. The skins just signed.
The way Michigan played this week, I can see them beating Louisville. I can.
I like what I've seen of Purdue. I agree with you. I really like them. But I'll go one up. You said you think the winner of Purdue-Iowa State could upend Kansas. I think the winner of that 8-9 Miami-Michigan State could upend Kansas. I was actually disappointed to see those two teams playing together because those are two teams
coaches.
I thought.
I want to ask Wilbon this.
Four coaches.
The Big Ten was upside down this year at the top. The teams Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, which are always right near the top,
and
capsized a little bit. And Indiana, they capsized. Is Michigan's, you pay attention, Michigan State is a great tournament team.
Yeah.
Not last year, but every other year.
Great coach.
I think Michigan State may go further than Michigan.
Yeah.
Look, Michigan just did something
amazing.
They won four games in 4 days.
That's
what
Duke did.
You know
what? It takes
I
much
am tempted to say, that's it. You're done. Here's a trophy for you. Cut down the nets.
Can we stop hearing about the plane for crying
out loud? And to Mike's point, though, it's not even – Duke, to me, is a little different in that you can make the argument finally coming together after a lot of entry with a huge amount of talent. That's not Michigan.
No.
They have some talent, but that's clearly a brought together by near-death experience. You make this run for 4 days. No one expects you to win. You win, and now you go in and it's like let down
But
Central.
Michigan State is always a team that I think is good. Who you got coming out?
Goodness gracious.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, haven't gone that far. Okay, I'll go crazy and say Purdue.
You like Purdue?
Why not?
Who you got?
Kansas.
Wilbon, who you got?
Coming out of the region.
Wilbon has now picked up the microphone in his hand as if he's going to sing.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to sing.
I'm going Louisville. You know, I just changed my mind.
All right, Gary
big
wants
upset.
Louisville.
Rick Pitino. You always have.
You know, I'm tempted to go with Michigan State. Michigan State has a freshman big man.
Yeah, that kid is
good.
He
abused
him.
Kid.
Physically, it's like a combination of a young Barkley and a young Oakley. And he flies through the air like Barkley did when he was at Auburn. And the kid is a force of nature who will be no longer at Michigan State after next week.
He's a top 20 recruit of the he's a big kid.
He's a lottery player.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm tempted to pick Michigan State because I know how much Izzo is angry at last year. Having talked to
went
him, it's like when Greg Popovich was on a crusade after losing to Miami.
That was
and
Middle
Michigan
Tennessee
State,
State right?
Middle Tennessee
15.
State, which is in again.
Killed my bracket right
but
there.
But, I'm going to say Kansas.
Okay.
I'm going to say Kansas. I don't have any faith in that pick yet. And by the time I actually fill one of these out for real, I may come up with something else.
Chris?
Kansas.
Okay.
We'll move to the bottom.
Yeah.
The best player. Kansas has the best player in the region.
They might have the. I mean, Josh Jackson and Frank Mason might be the two best players in the region.
Right. Does it not seem like Frank Mason has been there for 6 years?
Yes. it's a Jess Settles type situation. Jess Settles at Iowa. I was like, how many years of eligibility is that?
The same thing was that kid Perry Ellis was there for 10 years.
He makes a hell of a suit.
15 years. Are we going to go to the South? The South is the best. It's the best region. The South has North Carolina 1, Kentucky 2. UCLA 3.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
Cincinnati,
right,
by the way, at 6.
That looks like the best one.
I think that's the best.
That's the best one. 4 is Butler. You know, sweet, but they're not going to do much. Arkansas, Seton Hall, Minnesota.
Minnesota, by the way,
Minnesota
as a five.
Is a talented team.
Minnesota five playing that Middle Tennessee State team, who now this year is a 12. But, last year was a 15.
Right, but this year they're not going to sneak up on anybody.
No, that's going to be a popular
pick.
It's the
1-2-3. The best game in the front of this, the first round, is Dayton-Wichita State.
Yeah.
That's a really good game.
Wichita
Both teams
State
are good.
Is outstanding again this
Dayton
year.
Dayton is very, very good. They should have won. They got eliminated in their conference tournament. They are really good.
I watched Dayton in person earlier this year, they are good.
Everybody at Columbia Country Club, by the way, went to Dayton. Everybody I know went to Dayton.
Might have to fact check
It's
that.
Not even the top of that bracket. I mean, if you look.
1-2-3.
Seton Hall. Seton Hall gave Villanova the only real game they had in the Big East tournament. That kid Delgado that Seton Hall has is good. Cincinnati is, I was just going to say, Mike's right.
Yeah, but.
Really, really tough.
You're not going to see a 1-2-3 like this anywhere. North Carolina, Kentucky.
No, yeah, you're right.
And UCLA.
You know what the dirty little secret is? And we all, you know, Tony and I in particular, we know him. We like him. He's won two national championships. All praise is earned for Roy Williams. But the North Carolina Tar Heels are missing something. You don't let Duke come back. And you don't let the team that you hate most in life come back and beat you like that on a neutral floor when you've got the better team.
And you don't keep your kid on the bench
better
for 11 minutes.
They are missing. So I asked Jalen Rose and I were talking about this last night.
What are you doing?
And he said the same thing. He said they are missing something. Okay. They look to have all the physical ingredients. And we're talking about North Carolina. We're talking about intangible. I don't trust them anymore.
UCLA-Kentucky in a round of eight would be fantastic.
Tremendous.
Okay. They also have one of the greatest things, and they've only done this twice, and this is the one I will point out. The NCAA first-round games are often intriguing, and they have geography to them, or they have past grudges to them. It's fabulous that Kentucky opens with Northern Kentucky. Nice. It is so cool. Northern Kentucky, the Norse.
Of course.
Which I'd never heard of the school, and now that's a very good thing. So, Gary,
Let me just say, along those lines, I was talking this weekend with someone about the possibility of Maryland being a 6, which is where they finished up, and Duke being a 2, and how I would love to see them in the same region.
Maryland, Duke.
So you could get potentially, you know, a round of, what would that be? A round of, I guess, a Sweet 16 game of Maryland-Duke, which would be cool. Didn't happen. I want to see UCLA come through the South.
I have UCLA.
I really want to see this kid on the world stage.
Mike and I picked UCLA last week.
I want to see Lonzo Ball play as much as possible in college.
Yeah.
And I would say he gets all the run, as he should. But the kid Leaf is outstanding. They have a lot of good players. Now, I don't know about Steve Alford. I mean, Bryce
is a great
shooter. He's like a Steph Curry range.
He's a great.
I mean, I think if Lonzo Ball in the tournament, I watched a bunch of that game. You know,
what happened?
He got hurt.
Oh, his thumb.
Yeah,
right?
He got hurt.
Will he be better?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if he's at full strength, they got two kids inside. And then they got the shooter.
Wilbon came all the way from his house for chili. We had no chili today. Wilbon is eating crab
cakes. Yes, we have no bananas.
Are the crab cakes okay?
He was hangry.
Are the crab cakes okay?
He was hangry.
I flew from L.A. with no food.
It's like one of those Snickers
waiting
commercials.
Waiting on the Chad's chili.
Michael, how's
Snickers?
Which
I had last week.
So you like UCLA.
By the way, I like the ahi tacos, which I devoured here at Chad's,
like
which were delicious.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm going to go UCLA.
Good. Okay.
UCLA.
You're going to go UCLA too, right?
I have to.
I like UCLA. I will say I believe this. I believe the winner of UCLA-Kentucky. I mean, I believe that.
Can I make a prediction to ensure it doesn't come true? Seton Hall beats North Carolina in the second round.
You know what? I hesitated a long time before putting UNC over Seton Hall.
That's going to be a good game because Seton Hall can match him inside. The Delgado kid will be outstanding.
You're not going to be surprised at all, are you, if Winthrop beats Butler?
No, I put Winthrop.
I'm not going to be surprised at all.
I watched a ton of Big East. Villanova is number one in the Big East, and everyone else is like five tiers below.
Yes, I agree with that.
They're outstanding, and everybody else is not that good. Seton Hall, I think, might be the second best team in the Big East.
I've always been partial to UCLA because I love UCLA. And Bill Walton and Lou Alcindor and all of the great players of all time at UCLA and the run that Wooden went on and then when Larry Brown took them to the finals and all that. And I love their uniforms. Love their uniforms. I want to see them win. I don't know if they're going to win because, like most people, I don't hate the one and done because I understand it, but it disturbs me. I remember watching when the ACC had players that would play forever. They'd play at least 3 years. Michael Jordan played three years. Grant Hill played four years.
Until relatively recently.
And yeah, remember, so they didn't have
I hate the one and done.
Lonzo Ball's out of my life in a week.
College basketball and hurts the pros. Both of them.
Hurts the game.
Hurts the game of basketball. And every
I remember writing this many years ago. You will remember this player. When the ACC was on all the time, not when 20 channels were on, but the ACC was always on.
Chiminski doing the call.
I remember I knew when Chris Corciani got a haircut.
Fire and Ice.
I watched him so often. Yeah. The ACC when Maryland, it was so great, and now people are, they just go.
Yeah.
They just go. Kyrie Irving played 7 minutes at Duke. He's a great player, but you can't count him as Duke.
Well, I mean, to,
literally seven
to Mike's point.
Off.
Where's Diamond Stone right now? I mean, Maryland would be pretty good with Diamond Stone.
Still, you know where he is? Still needing to learn how to play.
Know how to play
That's
basketball.
Where he is.
Is he in the NBDL?
Is he in the E-League?
I don't think he's on a roster.
No. It's just, you know.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is, like, you're telling me that Diamond Stone. I understand, but Diamond Stone is so raw. If you watched any Maryland, I mean, Gary can speak this better than I can, but you are not going to succeed at that size in with the moves he has or doesn't have in the NBA.
They have parents who say
Diamond Stone currently
my
on
kid can play.
He is.
Yeah.
He doesn't play.
No.
No, but I
do you remember the kid at Maryland, Williams, the center, and Gary begged him not to leave. Please don't leave. He played a year.
Will Cox?
No. Jordan Williams.
Oh, Jordan Williams. Yeah. Was it Jordan?
He had no career.
Tony, the dirty little secret again is most of them have no career.
They have no career.
Well, most of these kids, you fixate on the kids that do have, you remember, because there's going to be 8 or 10 of them in the NBA next year who play well. But then there's 30 guys who come out who should have no business doing anything but going back to school.
I understand the rule.
Look at like the top 15 or 20 prospects. If you look at an NBA draft projection, I'm telling you, the
freshmen.
Top 15, there's
all freshmen.
Right.
All
or Euros.
That's because if you stay long enough,
they think something's wrong
people
with you.
Find flaws in your game.
Yeah, but you come out, you're ready to play.
All right, we get out of here now, right? And then we'll do one more read.
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. Get us out.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We would like to thank our presenting sponsor for this special episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show, Upside.com, a new way for you to buy travel. I'm just going to go off script and say I'm really happy about this because I like doing this, and we needed one full sponsor to do it, so that makes me happy.
You like travel?
You love flights.
No. I like hotels.
Many people call you the Mike Wilbon of travel.
We'd like to remind you that if you travel, you may be frustrated by how hard it is to compare those long lists of choices and prices and how long it takes to find a good deal. The guys at Upside.com have done something clever. They bundle your flight and hotel together for one low price. Every time you buy a trip at Upside, you save a ton of money, and they give you an Amazon gift card worth up to $300 every time. Want an even bigger gift card? Just make travel choices that save even more money. Upside will find those options for you. Could you take a departing flight 30 minutes earlier? Could you stay at an equally good hotel 4 blocks farther from the convention center?
No.
Those 100%, well, Saliza won't do it. Those 100% voluntary choices could be worth hundreds to your company or to you personally. Go to upside.com, check it out. When you're ready, click on that microphone up top and use my name, Tony. Use Tony and you're guaranteed to get at least a $200 Amazon gift card for your first trip. Tony, remember that. Remember it, people. Tony, save big on travel. Get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com, minimum purchase applies. See site for details. Save money, get a gift card. Check out Upside.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Randy Russell. The name of the band is East Kin, K-I-N. The name of the song is Compensated. We've had very good songs so far. Michael, if people want to send songs in, how do they do that?
By the way, this is called First Four Music now. It's not called Playin' Music anymore.
Oh, that's
right.
We call
it First Four Music.
Forgot that.
They can bring their jingles to Chad's at the corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin. If that doesn't work, they can email the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
So we also have a crowd. We have some people who came to see us. We have a tremendous amount of ambient noise that we won't have when we open up the real studio, but the studio will be in this space.
the space facing the road on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer, and we hope to have breakfast, and we hope to have a crowd all the time.
What about the little old ladies who have loved this space for like two decades? What are you going to do?
Out on the street.
Well, you know what? Wilbon brings up a sore point.
Come on, I've been coming here for a long time.
I'm going to deal with this. So I'm at the gym the other day at Columbia, and Betsy comes over to me, and Betsy says, you know, my sister-in-law, this is when we bought the place, when Alan, the socialite, I can name Betsy. And so Betsy says to me, my sister-in-law, once a year on New Year's Day, my sister-in-law, she's in that atrium space that we all fear you're going to make into your studio.
Does she spend $100,000 on that?
And I said, yes.
If not,
yes,
tough
that's
break.
Going to be the studio. And she said, well, they've been going here for 15 years. Once a year on New Year's Day.
They're all busy girls.
They're all visitation girls. And I said, tell your sister-in-law, there's an atrium on the other side. So Betsy comes back
that
like,
one's closed.
The next week, and Betsy says, yeah, but that's not as good.
What does that mean?
It's not as good. So the answer to Wilbon's question is out in the street. I mean, I don't really, what do I say?
That is cold, man.
What, oh, so,
that is
in other words,
so heartless.
I should give up 200... I should give up 200 days of podcasts for New Year's Day.
They make a good brunch at that Verizon store across the street. I've gone there before for breakfast.
So
it's delicious.
This is where we're going to be. How does it feel?
Love it.
How does it feel?
Great
feels
feel.
Okay?
It feels great.
Kelleher was saying he liked it before.
I like being near Wilbon because it makes me feel like a champion being near someone whose team is actually in the tournament. It's like
sporting
osmosis.
Purple,
we're going to get to this.
Lid.
Wilbon whined like a little child.
I'm not counting it because you want me
we're
to.
He wasn't going to jinx it.
This is like in July when you wanted me to say the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
He wasn't like no chili
did
angry.
That is right, G-Braun.
He was not no chili angry.
Right. He did.
Exactly. You're going to have to redo the atrium anyway. Wilbon wrecked this place.
Just an executive decision to have no chili. Is that what this is?
I'm surprised it wasn't destroyed with all the F-bombs that were dropped.
I got chili last week. What
just tell Wilbon we don't have chili.
Good chili.
He'll go crazy.
People love the Chad's chili. They do.
What's the deal?
I thought we were keeping the chili.
Peter,
Jeff,
we're
not keeping
country.
The chili. All right.
The chili's going to be kept.
All right, here we go. This is the East. Villanova
Michael
is.
Wilbon's
Villanova
chili.
Is the number one seed in the East and the number one seed overall. I looked at an Eastern. I looked at a ranking, an overall seeding that had Duke. As the number, I've assumed if you're going to be the number two seed going against the number one overall, that you're the eight. But in fact, Louisville is the eight and Duke is the seven. And yet Duke is the second seed in this particular bracket. UVA and Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, these are good teams. SMU has a chance to be great.
Baylor, or go out in the first game.
Baylor is the number three seed. I don't trust Baylor
like
at all. And the number four is Florida, and I'm not crazy about Florida.
Out.
But I will say this, and Mike and I know Jay Wright, and we like Jay Wright. For years and years and years, much like Georgetown and much like Kansas under Bill Self for a long period of time, and like Jamie Dixon forever and ever at Pitt, Villanova went out early.
Yep.
Year after year after year, and Jay Wright last year owned that. He talked about going out early, and he said, we're not going out early this time. And they won in the most exciting last 3 seconds of all time. And I've now watched them play four or five times. I don't think the Big East is very good.
I don't think
it's as good as the ACC. I don't think it's as good as a Pac-12. I don't think it's as good as a Big Ten. I don't. But Villanova is really good.
Did you watch the Villanova Seton Hall game?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That to me is an epitome of a team that can win
they
a
know
game
how to win.
They almost certainly should not
know
win.
How to
right?
Win.
So Jenkins takes a long three. Josh Hart said, well, friends, didn't even get recruited by Georgetown. Crashes in, gets fouled, scores, they win. I mean, those are the you're going to need to win a game like that in the tournament, and they have shown a capacity to do that. I would say they are so far the class of the Big East. Do not assume. The Big East is down. There's no question.
But
they are outstanding.
They are good.
But there's another team.
Virginia has fallen lately.
That same way in that bracket.
Virginia.
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Yeah, they do.
Not Virginia. Virginia has too much trouble scoring.
Can't score.
Virginia lost three NBA players.
Yep.
There's three NBA guys out there.
Would you take Villanova out with Wisconsin in the second round?
I could. Look, Wisconsin has got people who Nigel Hayes was in a national championship game. They got people who know how to play. They are physically strong. They do not back down from anybody. This kid Happ isn't even their best front court player.
And Happ
they
is
got
very
four
hard to match
big
up
time
with.
Players and Villanova. If they think they're going up and down the court against Wisconsin, that ain't happening. But I'm not saying they won't win the game, but they're not going up and down.
Would you agree, though, Wilbon, with my opinion, which is that is the only game in the bracket for them? Maybe Duke. In the finals, but it's like outside of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll say, you know, Virginia, Florida.
Gee, what do you think of SMU?
I love SMU. I
haven't seen them play much.
I think they're really good.
They have a Duke transfer kid who's their best player. A kid who transferred from Duke.
I think
who's
they're
SMU's
good.
They got they're
six,
pretty
seven,
good.
They got a bunch of 6'7"
Everybody
guys
is 6'6"
totally
to 6'9". Everybody on the squad 6'6" to 6'9".
Because it's not Larry. I mean, I don't know who the coach is. That's the one thing I feel better if it was Larry Brown.
Somebody else. Larry's nowhere.
It's the weakest division.
2 weeks ago, I said that Duke was the best team in the country.
Yes.
That's right.
But to be fair, what I said about Duke, and Wilbon has to give me this, I said today right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean next week.
You did.
I said today right now Duke was the best team in the country. Do you think that what happened, I know what you think is going to happen in Michigan. Duke won four in a row.
Yeah.
Are they done in your mind, too?
Because
I think they have real talent.
Yeah, I think Duke's got a problem in the – you know what? This region is so weak.
It's not a good region.
Relatively speaking, I don't believe –
Smooth.
I don't believe in
–
but here's the problem with SMU for me. I mean, you get in there against a USC team that we have seen beat UCLA, that we have seen play Arizona tough.
Yep.
USC is one of those teams you look back and go, wow. They got three NBA players on that squad. I look at Duke and I just think, okay, we saw them look very ordinary for a stretch in late February.
Duke's got five NBA players.
No, they always do.
Yeah, Duke's got five.
The problem is Giles is. I mean, he'll be an NBA player, but he's look. Who's the NBA player?
Who's the other kid?
Tatum is outstanding.
He's great.
Tatum's the best player on the team.
Kennard is
a nice
pro.
Player.
And
Duke is a
show
great
up.
College player.
Duke Grayson, shows up this time.
Grayson Allen
off the bench is better than he was as a starter.
I'm skeptical. I mean, I just don't. Oh. I don't know that at the end of the day, Tatum is the one who has to be.
Tatum's
outstanding
really
in the ACC tournament, and that's why they won.
You know what
about the lead guard, the freshman lead guard? Who is that kid?
Jackson?
Yeah, because that's the kid
Frank
that Jay
Jackson.
Williams
Frank
loves.
Jackson. Frank Jackson.
Jay Williams says that
he made big shots.
Becoming the point guard and Grayson Allen not having to do that made them a significantly better team.
They have zero depth. I mean,
that's
I know
right.
It may not matter that much, but I mean, they literally maybe play seven guys. And that's because Grayson Allen is now a bench player.
That's right. That's right.
So I think I still like Nova in
that's
that.
To me, that's the chalkiest of the region.
I have Nova against SMU just because I have SMU beating Duke.
What happened to Virginia?
They can't score, Tony.
It didn't even happen. What they did was, look, people complained about Tony Bennett, and I start screaming at them to shut up.
Please.
Tony Bennett worked miracles early in the year. Once again, Virginia's got three guys from last year's team who are playing professional basketball right now. Mm-hmm. Three. From Virginia. You don't have the stock of Louisville or Kentucky. Tony Bennett comes out there, and they just play around it. They play through it. He's creative. They do stuff that make people think they're better than they probably are.
Well, they play defense, which is why
they
three
really
dudes
do.
Are in the pros.
That's exactly right, G. And so now people practice, and they watch film, and they say, wait a minute. These people don't have anybody special. Virginia's going to bounce back. They're going to have people come in the recruiting class the next two classes. They're going to keep them up there. But Virginia can't score. They go through these droughts. And when you are a school like Virginia, and this is what happens with Vanderbilt, this is what happens with my beloved Wildcats, the guys that you actually have, and there's a nucleus of, three or four of them, they have to score, Tony. If they have droughts, you're going to lose tournament games. We've seen this with Virginia in the past few years. So I love Virginia. I root for them. I think this year they're really vulnerable in the very first game they play against UNC Wilmington.
Think about it. To Mike's point, Logan Perantes is ostensibly their best player. He's literally the fifth best player on the team last year. Now, he's still good, but he's not a high-end ACC star.
No, that's exactly right. And so, meanwhile, if he goes, they go.
Right.
You think they could go? And I know you love Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin too. Virginia Tech is a good team.
They're really good.
And he's Buzz a good Williams coach.
Oh, Wisconsin could lose in the first round? There's no question.
They could lose.
8-9, those are even games.
And he'll have them. Buzz Williams is a – I mean, I saw him at Marquette a bunch. He's a very good game.
I think Baylor's going to lose early. I just don't like Baylor.
The problem,
like,
the
I
biggest,
don't like any of
their
programs.
Well, you take Baylor out to SMU or USC Providence.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. I mean, I do. I think it's possible, although the Big 12 is a very good conference.
Yeah, Baylor could.
It's a very good conference. All right. Michael, you have anything to say about anything?
My wife is here, so I'm going to roll with Duke.
Okay. That's probably the
smart
best way
move.
To go.
Smart move.
Sam is here.
I did.
Did you see Sam Neill?
I see Sam right across the way.
All right. So
this is becoming very local.
I like to announce all the people that I know.
Hey, Bill.
Because, you know, no, not the actor, but Sam Neill is here.
Loved Jurassic Park.
Sam Neill, the great Little League pitcher. Sam Neill.
15 strikeouts at the Eastern Regional.
Yeah. All right. We'll take one break here, and then we'll come back with the most important of all the regions,
the
Western Regional. Okay, so we'll take this break now and come back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Seth Boyack from Wilbon's palatial home in Phoenix, Arizona. His band is called New Chums.
Wait, he's playing it actually in Wilbon's house?
Wilbon has a gated community. Seth Boyack can't get in. The name of the song is called For the Cause. Michael, once again, if people want to send us music, how do they do it?
They can send it to jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
And if people are so excited by this pop-up podcast that they want to buy gear, including perhaps tournament gear, how would they do that?
Our March-themed gear is available at shop.tonykornheisershow.com.
Fabulous.
I just purchased a pint glass today. I paid full freight.
It's nothing. Nice.
I bought a Snuggie during this podcast.
I'm buying everybody dinner here. This is going to set me back.
Wait,
about
is that true?
Bucks.
Wait, I get dinner out of this?
Seriously?
Wow. That would be no. Way
you're
done. Great order of wings.
Done. Exactly. We cut everybody off.
Can I get the pot roast?
No chili.
No pot roast. No chili. We're going to go to the West. The West has, and you can argue with me if you want, the West has the weakest overall number one seed in Gonzaga. I don't mind that Gonzaga's number one. They beat everybody they had to beat. They deserve to be number one. But they're going to walk into this tournament without having played really five tough games in the last 2 months. And nobody else is walking in like that. Number two is Arizona. Sean Miller is probably the most famous, most accredited coach in college basketball to not yet make the Final Four, would you say, Mike? Sean Miller? I think that's true.
Maybe
I think
it's true. I'm trying to come up with somebody.
I think it's Sean Miller. West Virginia, which lost today, but is 40 minutes of hell.
It's hard
is
to
number
play
four
man.
Here.
Yeah. Huggy Bear.
Number three here is Florida State. And in one of the great matchups, the NCAA tournament put Florida State against Florida Gulf Coast in the first round.
I'm going to tell you something.
Gulf Coast could beat them.
Florida State has every reason to be worried. First of all, you know how the blue bloods in a state get angry?
Yes.
I remember when Kentucky, which was refusing to play Louisville in the late 80s and Denny Crump, they just wouldn't play them.
That's right.
The committee said, oh, yeah.
We're going to play them.
You're going to play them. You're going to play them in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was at that game, and Kentucky's kids were just like, no, don't make us do this.
And we've talked about
that's the Florida
State
situation.
We've talked about this before. Every kid on Florida Gulf Coast probably grew up wanting
was
to go.
Was not before. Recruited.
So
by
this
Florida
is a.
State.
I will literally stick
so
it to you when we
chance.
Play.
Yep.
I mean, that's
there's a chance. For
number
three,
seven
three
in this is St. Mary's, a better team than a seven. Maryland is here. Maryland last month has not been good. Maryland is against Xavier.
It could go out.
Princeton is no against Notre Dame. We watched Princeton Penn yesterday. A tragedy at the end. Penn led the whole way, tied up at the end, and blitzed out. In the right, Michael blitzed out in the OT.
Missed the free throw.
Was that
and
on the Ivy League Network?
CBI was on CBS.
Yeah, you actually don't get the Ivy League Network. Sorry, Chris.
You're not allowed to get the Ivy League Network in your house.
I wasn't allowed to be a.
And most important in this region, as an 8 seed, most important in this region, Northwestern plays in the highest, I would say, well, maybe Notre Dame, Princeton, but I think Northwestern. Vanderbilt is the highest college board opening round in the entire tournament. Are you happy? Are you sad?
Happy.
How do you feel about
happy.
That matchup happy. And everything
eight,
else?
Eight is a pretty high seed. For our first time in the tournament, you go in as an eight.
I don't know. Our first time we went in as a 16.
So this is
first and only.
That's
That's my point. Yeah. Well, low seed. You can go the other way. It's a great seed for us.
Yes, it
I like playing Vanderbilt. I don't know much about Vandy.
They're usually pretty good. They're not that good.
They're usually pretty good.
They're the last team in.
I'm thrilled that we got that. I told you, Tony, that I was told that we might go west, and they would love to see a Northwestern Gonzaga if we can beat Vandy.
And if you're going to be an eight, that's the one you want to play.
Yep.
Yep. The weakest one. Now, this is for people that don't understand this. Wilbon, year after year after year, fixates on a certain college player and insists that this college player is among the five best players in all of college. And then when we say to him, he's not even on anybody's draft board, Wilbon says, analytics, it's crap.
How great
These
is that
people
kid
are
been?
Stupid.
How great has he been?
And then the people don't even like the North Carolina kid that didn't even get drafted last year. Who's the guy you love at Gonzaga?
Williams Goss.
He's good. He was the player of the year in the conference.
Nigel Williams Goss.
He's really good.
And now,
because he says you're my boy.
And now I'm out there saying this kid's the best point guard in the country.
What about your point guard?
My own point guard who came to our studio, BMAC.
That's right. Right.
Right?
Right.
Who is a wonderful player, an important player for Northwestern
Led
in this
the league
new evolution.
In assists.
Led the league in assists.
Wilbon trashes him.
I don't trash him. I love him. I just had dinner with him the other night when he was here.
But?
And I now have to somehow finesse my way out
tough.
Of calling Williams Goss my favorite point guard. I got BMAC saying, what?
Yeah.
I'm tutoring your kid during
is
summer
it too
camp.
Much to assume, is it too much to assume that Wilbon,
love BMAC.
This was set up? This is kind of a Wilbon potential setup here.
It is.
Put
a
him
gift.
In a tough spot
let's,
by the committee.
Let's be fair. This is a gift to Northwestern to get Gonzaga.
Yes.
This is a gift.
I told you, Tony, didn't I tell you this quietly during the week? Look, here's the thing. I'm not even going to be able to see the game in person, which is great. I can't see the Gonzaga game if we play.
Is that Salt Lake City?
It's Salt Lake City on a Saturday night. I got Saturday night duties.
Well, they won't let you out for this one.
No, I'm not going
to
ask
to see Gonzaga.
I'm not going to ask out. I'm going to go to the first game. I'll be somehow. I got to get myself to Salt Lake City on Thursday, despite Washington shutting down for a week.
Start driving.
I'm going to start driving south.
I just love
drive to Raleigh.
That after
to get out of here
after having been in the tournament for about 71 minutes. You've now got them through to the second round and battling to make the Sweet 16.
I know that. Listen, I know that we could lose to Vanderbilt. There's no. It is interesting that the committee paired the only private school in the Big Ten with the only private school in the SEC.
These things
don't happen by accident.
They
if you're looking at it, you go, wait a minute, move this around. So I know we could lose to Vanderbilt. Look,
you should beat them.
Most of the schools in the field can lose the first game. The only ones that can't literally cannot lose the first round are the ones. And I think three of the four twos are automatic. I even give you all the twos. I'll give you two of the threes. So after that, Tony, you can lose. I mean, there's not going to be any shame in it. And I'm not going to act like a bad alum who wants to fire his coach if we lose to Vanderbilt. That's
but
not going
to be
me.
But if you get to Gonzaga, that's the one you want to get to.
It'd be
you
a gotta thrill.
You got to play a one.
A thrill.
It's an honor.
I have, and this isn't just Wilbon kissing up. I think you can.
Northwestern,
I mean,
by the way, early one-point underdog.
To Vandy.
Vandy, one-point favorite.
And this is the greatest news I could hear.
You could make a decent case that West Virginia, I think, might be a tough matchup for them. I think they'd be okay against Notre Dame. I mean, you could make a case for them into the Elite Eight. Now, they have to beat Gonzaga to do that. But then you have
you
either
what happened with us against. We played Notre Dame this year. Leading with essentially no time.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame beat us. Notre Dame beat us at the buzzer.
That's an interesting game.
On a neutral
court. West Virginia is tough because of the style of play.
I look at the bottom of this draw, and I think Arizona has the easiest way into the final eight of anybody in the tournament.
Absolutely.
Arizona. Well, what are you saying about Maryland?
I don't – oh, no. No, they've gone the other way.
I just think they're going to crush him inside. I
can see Xavier beating Maryland.
I can't. Maryland also 1 point, according to Vegas. You know, just opening line. Maryland a 1 point favorite. Yeah.
So
yeah, I would. Nigel is rightly pointing out.
Dunk
I mean,
City.
I hate Dunk City.
No, they can't. They can win one.
Could they beat Maryland if they beat Florida State?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they could.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure they could. Look, that whole thing down there, it screams out Arizona.
Yeah.
It does.
It really does.
You know, Huggy Bear knows how he's
I like them.
They're
he's
good.
A constant in this thing.
They're good.
And Notre Dame to me, I can't read them. I've seen them in games that I thought they should have been better.
I think they're pretty good, too.
The kid, their best kid, their best kid rolled his ankle bad
yesterday.
Now, he came back and played for the last 6 minutes. He didn't do much, but they're young, and he's a great athlete, so he'll probably recover. But he rolled his ankle real bad, like 8 minutes left in the game. So if he's at all neutralized, they'll struggle because he's quite good.
Well, then who's susceptible? Here's what you want to ask yourself. Is Gonzaga susceptible to pressure and how much so? They're playing in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. They're playing in a favorable spot. They're not playing at home. It's not in Seattle.
But they're in
it's
the
not
West.
Home state.
They're
in
the West.
They're going to have the biggest support, right? Do you think that Gonzaga, after all of its relatively speaking failures in the tournament, will feel pressure and, if so, win?
I think they will win a couple of games. Here's what I would say. This is the easiest region that I may have ever seen in my life. Just look at this region. There are not hard games here. When you compare this
to
North Carolina, UCLA, and Kentucky,
yeah.
There's just no comparison with Gonzaga, Florida State. Arizona really should get out of this. They should.
And that, speaking of programs.
And they never have before.
But speaking of programs that struggle.
Yes.
And particularly when their expectations, and particularly when they play close to home.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona's done better sometimes when it's in East Rutherford. You're like, what are they doing? Boom, they start playing. They're going to have the second biggest. You know what? No, I take that back. They're going to have the largest fan base in Salt Lake City. Arizona's going to. And we're talking about 50,000.
Giant state school.
Gonzaga's
a private school.
Yeah.
And and by the way, years and years and years and years of basketball success.
And,
so, I mean, they have their alumni base is giantly built out. Right?
I'm telling you, Sean, I think most people, it's the same thing like in golf. The best golfer to never win a major, who for years was Colin Montgomery or Sergio
Garcia. Miller
hasn't
been around quite that long.
He's coached 15 years, Mike, at least.
As a head coach?
Yes, at various spots.
Where
and
was
he's
before
really good.
Arizona? Was he at Xavier?
Yeah, some Midwestern school.
He's always been successful.
Very
but
successful.
Not...
His brother is really good.
Dayton.
His brother
Archie.
Dayton is really good.
You know, Tony, I'm excited about Salt Lake City from this perspective. I get to I'm going to see my alma mater play for the first time ever in the tournament. I'm going to get to see Gonzaga that day.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see him in person.
Cozy up
to
your boy.
That's right. I'm going to get to see Arizona, which is playing there. I get to see St. Mary's.
St. Mary's pretty good.
St. Mary's is pretty good.
They're
seven.
If you take Gonzaga out, they've only lost one game.
So, I'm just interested in seeing. One of the things I talk about seeing teams, Chris, in the tournament, I always liked, particularly in the 80s, before every single game was on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and Tony, remember how you would hear about, you'd have to wait to have Sports Illustrated tell you about Rudy Woods and Texas A&M or some exotic team back then, or to actually see Vegas. To see UNLV for more than a game, you had to go see them in person.
Yeah, you couldn't
see
them.
And so the thrill of the tournament
it's not like now,
is to go. And I go to practice. You know, I go to practice on that off day before I got to go to L.A. and
you're
watch
Mr. Northwestern. You can coach the team.
You want to coach the team? Go ahead. Pop in there.
Chris will decline that.
Yeah, get us out of here. This is good. We did good, I think, tonight.
Yeah, this was fun.
Right.
I didn't know you were paying. Had I known you were paying,
we
I would have.
Talk
I mean,
about who. So who comes out of the West for you, Salizzo?
I have Arizona.
Arizona.
I just think
Princeton.
No. So wait, Final Four. I have Nova, Arizona, Kansas, UCLA. Nova, UCLA in the championship game. Give me Nova back to back.
It's very good. Yeah. Did you look?
I haven't gone
out?
That far yet.
Yeah, have you gone that far?
But
yet?
But I will say this. I'm not gonna
have
Huggy Bear
top
and press
seats.
Virginia to come out of the West.
I like that. I like that.
Before you cut it, look for the Tony Kornheiser Show in the ESPN Tournament Challenge. We are now a featured group.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Before we get out of here tonight, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for sitting in with us, along with Gary Braun, Chris Saliza, and Michael Kornheiser. Also want to thank our sponsor for this pop-up show, Upside.com. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Thank you, everybody.
You know what ought to happen to them? They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Oh, my.